Anything new that you want to talk about? Anything happening in anybody's life?
Yep, I gave up the cello.
You gave up the cello?
Solo.
The solo?
Wait, you
played
the solo?
Yeah. Wait. So, no, Selena, everybody needs to hear about the solo that you have, because we have several people in choir. We got Gloria that's in choir. We got Selma that's in choir. Who else is in choir here? Logan's in choir. Jordan's in choir. Justin absolutely is in choir. Know that? Oh, Lauren is in choir, too. So, no, okay, so listen up. Selma's got, she had an awesome solo opportunity. Her teacher recognized the talent that she had right here in her grass. And tell us about this solo that you're going to sing. What was the song again?
You know, The Lion King when he holds the baby up.
<There it is. laughs>
He gives me all the solos in class. So, like, because I'm the only one that you guys do, I'm like, come on. I said I'm not doing this one.
Kelly wants a preview.
I do.
We want to hear what it was going to sound like. All right. Let's hear this. Stand up.
Number one,
we were saying, like, the words on that, they actually
that have word story?
You never know.
How is it spelled?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. I swallowed my gum today and track practice.
I thought it was like fifth graders today.
Okay, Kenzie's calling her gum doing track practice. Amanda got attacked by fifth graders. What are you doing around fifth graders?
Okay, so I TA'd at an elementary school today in an art class, and they're doing my class in my shirt.
They did what to your shirt?
Teacher assistant, if you didn't know.
Oh, okay. They did what to your shirt?
They got their colors on my shirt and my
pants. It was oil for sale.
Interesting. Now, is that like A-plus something that you're doing? Okay, so A-plus stuff. Okay, anybody else do like A-plus program here?
I'm going.
Lauren's got that. Maddie's got that. Logan's going to do it. I'll tell you guys what. I had a great time this past week. I got a special treat on Tuesday night. Is it Tuesday?
Oh, yeah.
Tuesday night, me and a couple of the counselors, we went to go check out Logan's jazz band performance. Boy, they were smoking. They're good. They're really good. Logan did a good job there. Yeah.
I was listening to that wave song.
That baritone? Yeah, that dude is sick, man. He's good. He's a good baritone sax player. So it was a lot of fun. What's that?
Concert Tuesday?
Yeah.
Am I invited?
Yeah,
I want to be. Is this a choir or a band? What do you play?
I play
the started on the clarinet. How the clarinet master?
I used to play on the alto sax and berry, but then I went back.
Yeah.
You want some treble back to bass, or not to me? Bass back to treble. Okay, nice. Good deal.
Yeah, I'm going to get some information from you then. That's the class. That'd be awesome.
Pray for me because I have contest next Saturday.
Alright, guys, so Logan wants a prayer. He has contest next Saturday. Now, what is this, like solo for instrument or choir?
What is it?
For both. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Friday is choir, and I have two small ensembles, and then a solo, and then the next day is band, so I have a trio, and then a solo.
Damn, boy. Alright.
I'm going to be busy.
Yeah, you are going to be busy. This is all next weekend? Dang, man. All right. It's that time of year, I guess. It's springtime, yeah. Gloria.
I made my acapella
choir. All right, everyone. Gloria made her acapella chamber choir at school. And you guys are like, this full of talent. This is what I want to know. Why do we have all these musicians in here? We need to have more people doing specials at camp then. You know what I mean?
We need to get a song with like the harmony and stuff, like soprano, alto,
yeah.
Bass.
We need to do that too. All right, we'll break up into parts. We need to do like another YouTube special. Let's get a YouTube special going again. I think that's a good idea. So we'll get a song figured out.
And then
we'll give Selma the solo.
Like, play.
That's true. Some accompaniment, yeah. Right. Camp dinner. Dang. What? That's April 22nd, I think. So we got some time. Yeah. About a month and a half. Okay. That's right. You got enough instruments now, that's for sure. Counselors, do we have any announcements? Jenny, Angela, Kelly, Justin, Dan, volleyball. Is today the last day?
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, let me get a head count. Raise your hand if you're in high school. Raise your hand if you're in high school. So, Justin, count the boys. Angela, can you count the girls for me? Oh, let me get that number up here.
In your head. I was literally in middle school, Justin.
Did you sign those guys up?
Yeah.
Yeah, good, good.
Three more.
Out of these girls, how many of you guys are signed up to play volleyball? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So only one guy. Lori, you gotta get you signed up. Alright, let's do it. This is good. Now, this is what we need to know because we also have like a really good opportunity coming up. We might have a group of girls coming from I think your soccer friends or something like that. Chris is telling me about it. Might be coming. What's up? Dang. Is that, that's not including in that. Wow. Yeah, now we're going to have four seats. Okay, cool. Thanks, though. I need that number as well. And then you said possibly. We'll go high number.
How do you sign up for?
Oh, just go out there and fill out your name so you can put in the draft. You don't have to have your money tonight. Nothing. Don't worry about it. Sign up. Christy wins. They are going to play? We'll have our own league, maybe. You know? Oh my God. That's a good problem to have. Introduce your friends. I think everybody else knows each other. You want to tell us how you know them?
This is Tucker sitting there.
Tucker. And what's his name in the orange?
Ryan.
Tucker and Ryan. All right. Tucker and Ryan. Good manly names back there. All right. Thanks for being with us. So you guys all go to school together?
Yeah.
Are you in welding together too?
No. He goes to construction and he goes to technology.
Dang, man, nice, nice. Good stuff right there. Well, Tucker and Ryan, good to have you here, man. all right, does everybody else have a hymnal close by so that they can share?
Never mind.
All right, grab your hymnals and go ahead and stand up, guys. Let's get rolling. All right, guys, let's open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get started here. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the time that we get to come together tonight and get back into your Bible, Lord. And I just thank you for the great week everyone's had. Father, I look forward to the weekend also that's coming up. I pray and ask that you would just give us an opportunity now, Lord, just to put all the cares of the world and the distractions out of our minds, Father, and just to take some time to get close to you, the one that made us, Lord, the one that gave us purpose and the one that put us down here to accomplish something and make our lives meaningful, Father. I pray and ask, Lord, that just everything that I say tonight, once we get into the lesson, will come across clearly to everyone, Father, and that we can open up your word and understand more about you and what you'd have us to do. Just take this song service, Lord, and use it to prepare our hearts and minds to get into the Bible. We look forward to all you have for us tonight. Please bless Bob while he's out there teaching everyone in big church. And I pray and ask all these things in your son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn number 15. Brethren, we have met to worship. Been a minute since we sung that one in here. Number 15. A minute's like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a minute. Oh, sorry. All right. Brethren, we have met to worship. Number 15. All right, here we go. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray. Showered all around, brethren, see poor sinners round you slumbering on the brink of woe. Death is coming, hell is moving. Can you bear to let them go? See our fathers and our mothers and our children. Showered all around. Sisters, will you join and help us? Moses, sister, Aiden, him. Will you help the trembling mourners who are struggling hard with sin? Tell them all about the Savior. Tell them that he will. Showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven and his table. Down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around. All right, turn over two pages, come thou fount, or one page, two numbers. Come thou fount, number 17.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, some by claiming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus.
Hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. 272. Alright, here we go. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds. Suggestions before I pick the next one?
Any favorites?
I like My Anchor Holds.
He likes My Anchor Holds.
271. My Anchor Holds. Alright.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest driven soul, I am peaceful for I know while it all. My anchor holds,
First by herself. You guys do oohs and ahs behind her. Then we'll all come in together. I'm getting a little
corpse, actually. All right, here we go. In the garden, verse 1. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is closest, and he who walks with me his house with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share I pray that for each and every one of you in here.
I know, especially when I was your age, singing hymns in church was just kind of like going through the motions for me. But there really is a joy in Jesus Christ that's unlike anything else in this life, in this world. And I really do pray that you guys get to know that at some time in your life. Like I said, I don't take for granted, you know, we're all young and you just, you know, been obedient and come to church because your parents want you to or something like that. But there really is a true joy. Behind all these words that we sing, there's truth to them. You know, regardless of our attitude of heart when we're singing them or anything like that, there is a truth behind it. And that song talks about a joy that none other has ever known. And I pray that God will give each and every one of you a glimpse of that before you leave off this earth. All right, verse number 3.
I stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go.
Last one, 414. 414. Another slow one, but let's end on this one. Goes along with our camp theme this year and what we're going to be talking about tonight. Am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Alright, some of you haven't sung this in a while, but I think once we get going on it, it'll be pretty familiar to you. So, 414. Am I a soldier of the cross? Here we go.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak?
Verse number 1 again. Am I a soldier?
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery bands of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through blood?
Verse number 2 again. Christ and sell through life. Verse number 3. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not sin the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on? Verse number 3 again. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not sin the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by
verse number 4, one last time.
Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by
verse number 1, am I a soldier?
Am I a soldier of the cross?
Pray for us and we'll have our lesson.
God, Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for this time that we can spend together to learn more about you. And please give Zach the words to say, and please speak through him, and then get our flesh out of the way so we can receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys, get your Bibles out. Turn to Luke chapter 9. At the end of class last time, we had a good time. I posed a question to you all based off of what Jenny overheard while she was at work. It was one of the apparent contradictions in the Bible. You guys remember that? About how the Bible says over there in the Old Testament in Exodus, you know what, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Life for a life. It's that principle that's kind of the opposite of what everyone's mom taught them when they were coming up. How many of you guys heard from your moms, two wrongs don't make a right? You heard that, right? But we saw in the Bible, that was kind of the reverse last week, right? God said back there when he gave the law to the nation of Israel, he said, if someone takes your eye, you take theirs. So back in the Old Testament, we saw that two wrongs did make a right. But then we went to the New Testament, and that's where our contradiction showed up, because Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples and to everyone that's around him. He's like, by the way, if someone smites you on the right cheek, turn the left cheek. If someone takes your glove, you know, give them your coat also. And we saw that the reason for that was because of the New Testament example that we had, that they didn't have in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ showed up. He was a new example for us. And also, we looked at the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. But at the end of class, I kind of gave you guys a preview. And I told you I'd open up this week and start talking about what we're going to talk about at camp this year. And who remembers our theme for camp this year?
CrossFit.
It's so catchy. How did you forget?
That's right.
All right, CrossFit. Does anybody in here do CrossFit? Anybody ever done that workout before? Tucker, you've done it before?
Yeah.
Look at that.
We used to do it for wrestling.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So Tucker's a wrestler. Joey's a wrestler too, I think.
Yeah. We got Code Blue though.
Code Blue. What does that mean?
And it's basically you go to
you go to your blue. Okay.
Yeah, you go to your pass out.
I'll blow my chucks out of my mouth if I try something like that. But yeah, CrossFit's intense. But our whole thing was about, I want you guys to think CrossFit. I want you to think, are you fit to carry your cross? You know, everything in a Christian's life, kind of comes down to this. You know, Jesus Christ, when he came down here, he was down here for 33 years, and it was all building up to that one point, what he would do on that cross. Would the devil be able to tempt him and get him to back down, to get him to call 10,000 angels down from heaven to defend him, to defend his honor, to stand for him? Or would he take the shame? Would he bear the reproach? Would he take the sin that was mine upon himself and suffer and die with that stuff? And that's exactly what he did. Jesus Christ was fit to carry his cross. He was fit to bear that cross. And at camp this year, we're going to talk to you guys about that. And what I want to do is just start leading up to camp today by kind of talking about what the cross is. You know, what is the cross? And we're going to look at a couple of things today and kind of get an idea about what this thing is. Now, obviously, we all know, you know, what the cross is in, you know, in general terms. You know, it was usually wood. You take that thing, you got a perpendicular line that intersects a horizontal line. But when I think about that, I want you guys to think about your own will that runs horizontal. You know, throughout the day, every moment of the day, that's what you guys are looking at. You know, we're oftentimes looking at the things that are around us, the things that are on our eye level, right in front of us, all around us. That's what we're worried about. We talk about peer pressure. That's what we're talking about. Who are your peers? Who's on the same level with you? How are they impacting your life? When people get bullied, that's why. It's because they care about those things, the horizontal things that are in their lives. The difference for a Christian is this. Where every man has this horizontal outlook, is focused on what's on his level, the Christian's perspective runs into God's. And that's where you get your cross. God's got a bird's eye view over the whole situation. He can see things differently than any one of us can. And that's what the cross is. It's where two perpendicular lines intersect each other. This is where God's vertical will runs into man's horizontal will, and man's desires intersect God's plan. Each day you will choose one or the other, and if you stand in the middle, you'll get clobbered by them both. Now, a great verse to illustrate this and some of the points I want to talk about to you guys today is over here in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and I want you guys to pick it up. Let me get over there. Luke chapter 9, let's pick it up in verse 18 just to get an idea of what's going on here. This is Jesus Christ, you know, after he's fed the 5,000, he's got this great multitude around him, and now he's beginning to teach them. He's fed them physically, now he's about to feed them spiritually, give them some good truth. Luke chapter 9, pick it up in verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" They answering said, "John the Baptist, but some say Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day." So he's got to suffer some things. He's got to get rejected. He's got to be slain, but then the Bible says he'll rise again the third day. Now, verse 23 is our key verse right here. Now, after Jesus Christ lays out what he's got to go through, this statement comes up. Jesus Christ pretty much just gave you the order of events in his life. He laid out exactly what his life was for, what his purpose was for in verse 22. He said the Son of Man must suffer. All right, he's coming down here to suffer. He must be rejected. All right, so he's going to get some rejection in his life. He's going to be slain. They're not going to stop with just torture and rejecting him. They're going to kill him. Then the Bible says he's going to rise again the third day. Now watch this, what he gives to his disciples in verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the kingdom of God." Our verse I want to focus on tonight is verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me." God, thank you for this verse you've given us. God, I pray that right now you just give me the ability to help the kids get their hearts and minds set towards what you're going to do this year with us at camp, Lord. Your cross is something that's important, God. It's what you look forward to. Lord, it's the reason that I can have fellowship with you and communication. God, it's not only the bridge in between heaven and hell, it's the bridge between my sinful life, Lord, and your righteousness. And I thank you for that. I thank you for bearing that cross. And God, I pray that I'd be excited and exhorted to do the same in my own life. I pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 23. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The first thing we're going to see about this cross, guys, is that the cross is a decision. The cross is a decision that you have to make. You say, well, Zach, how'd you get that? Where'd you get that from? Well, look at the verse. The first thing the cross is a decision. Notice that when Jesus talks to his disciples, he doesn't say, when any man will come after me. It's not a given. You see, when Jesus Christ brought this up to his disciples, it wasn't a given that anyone would follow him. He used the word if. Jesus speaks as if he's uncertain about our commitment towards him. If is a questioning word. If is a word of uncertainty. If implies that there's a decision to be made. And that's why the first thing about the cross is that it's a decision. You don't have to bear that cross. You actually don't have to carry it. How many of you guys have studied the scientific method in school? Raise your hands. All right, when it comes to formulating a question to get a result or something like that, when you're forming a theory with your experiment, you know what that fancy word is called? It's an H word.
Hypothesis.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. A hypothesis. All right, who knows how to structure a legit hypothesis?
If, then, because.
There you go. If, then, because. When you have a question about something, you start it with if. A hypothesis. If, blah, 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 then, blah, 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 because of the result, right? Jesus Christ has a hypothesis here. He didn't have a definite answer. Isn't that sad that Jesus Christ, that suffered and bled and died for us, that was smitten for my transgressions, was bruised for my iniquities, chastised for my peace, can't even rely on me to follow him? Isn't that sad he didn't say, now, Zach, when you follow me because of all that I've done for you? Not at all. He said, if. If. I wonder if anybody would be committed to my cause. If. If any man will come after me, is what he says. He's got no expectation, and at best, low expectations for us. If any man will come after me, and you say, well, hold on, Zach, don't you think Jesus might be being a little melodramatic here, maybe? I mean, let's think about this. What does he mean, if any man will follow him? Well, you just read that he fed 5,000 people. Most of us don't have a close-knit group of friends that's over five. He's getting thronged by the multitudes day and night. Wherever he goes, he's got a huge mosh pit that's surrounding him. What does he mean, if any man will follow him? I read stories in the Bible where they're breaking open roofs and dropping people down on top of his lap. I've read stories where he's walking through crowds and people, all they want to do is touch the hem of his garment. What do you mean, if any man will follow him? He's always surrounded by people. What do you mean, if any man will follow him? Is Jesus Christ being melodramatic here? What's going on with that? One of the key things you got to know about when it comes to bearing your cross is joining the crowd does not mean you've decided to follow Jesus. A preacher said at one time, just because you got a big crowd doesn't mean you got a church. I want to say, just because you're part of a big crowd that's around Jesus doesn't mean you've decided to follow Jesus. You know who was in that crowd, folks? You guys remember Judas Iscariot? Do you think he decided to follow Jesus? You guys ever heard of Doubting Thomas? He got the power and the ability to do all the miracles that the other disciples did, but he said, I won't believe on him until I see him. You think he was decided? Joining the crowd doesn't mean that you decided to follow Jesus. Even Simon Peter, when he was put up against the stuff and had an opportunity to die with Jesus Christ and go to the cross with him, he chose to curse him and run away. Just because you're a part of the crowd doesn't mean you've decided to follow Jesus. When it comes to following Jesus, if you follow Jesus, you'll end up where he ends up. And when you follow Jesus, you'll end up at a cross. You'll end up at a cross. How many of the disciples followed him to the cross? Okay. Who's that?
Well, no.
Right. How about this? How many of the disciples were crucified with him?
None.
They were all a part of that crowd. I know tradition says Simon Peter, you know, was crucified, and he chose to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Lord. But when the opportunity presented itself, Jesus Christ bore that cross alone. It was alone. And until you take up a cross, you're not truly following him. You're not really following Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Lord said, if any man will follow me. Because the first thing that the cross is the cross is a decision. Will you come after Jesus or will you not? you know, Bob oftentimes says, you know, if you want a piece of my ministry, you can have it. If you want to learn the Bible, you can learn it. If you want to have a working relationship with God, you can get it. However, with each thing, there's a price that must be paid and a cross that must be carried. If. It's a decision. The cross is a decision. You know, you're not going to learn the ministry by coming to church on Sunday, believe it or not. You won't learn it by coming to youth group on Thursday night or coming to Bible study. You don't learn it until you earn it under a burden, under a cross. Will any man come after Jesus? He said over there to some folks, he said, listen, greater works will you do because I go unto my Father. Was he talking to me? If. I remember Isaiah said way back there about 1,000 years before Christ even showed up. He said, for who shall declare his generation? Was he talking about you? It's all about the if. Are you coming after Jesus Christ? That's a decision that you need to make. A great hymn says, the Son of God goes forth to war. Who follows in his train? And the Christian chorus of Laodicea says, not I. Not I. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. The cross is a decision you'll have to make. Your cross is a decision to go your way or God's way, and you get to decide. No one can make you take it. You've got to choose it. It's a decision to be made. All right, the next thing, the cross. The cross is a denial. It's a denial. The first part of the verse says, if any man will come after me, then after that it says, let him deny himself. In order to carry the cross, you will have to deny yourself. You say, well, Zach, why is that? Well, do you realize what the cross is? The cross is capital punishment. Unless you're kind of suicidal, out of your mind, is there anybody here that wants to lay down their life to go sit in the electric chair just for fun? I don't think so. The cross is capital punishment. In order to take up the cross, you got to deny yourself. The cross is death. And when you follow Jesus Christ, somebody has to die. Now, like I said, who in their right mind would go for this? You know, the idea nowadays is one of these things I hear oftentimes, you know, by people, especially writers, they say this, if I'm not for myself, then who will be? And if I'm only for myself, then who am I? That's kind of like one of those fancy little, you know, get along with everybody phrases that they toss out. If I'm not for myself, then who will be? No man's willing to lay down his life. Even the devil knew that back when he was back there tempting Job. He said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. This is all we have. We're not going to lay that thing down. But in order to carry the cross, you're going to have to deny yourself. And I kind of looked at that and I was like, deny myself and take up a cross, which is execution. Is this like Christian jihad? Like, what is Jesus Christ asking me to do here? You know, this wouldn't make any sense, and we wouldn't be any better than the Muslims, you know, going around and blowing everyone up if there wasn't a great Christian doctrine behind this. How does a Christian crucify himself without becoming an extremist, without becoming suicidal? You guys have any answers on that? How could you crucify yourself? What the heck is that talking about, Logan?
Like the verse said, every day.
So it can't be this physical body then, can it? Unless, I mean, you guys know something that I don't know about.
Decisions.
Yeah, there's decisions you got to make, but it says crucify. Logan kind of hit it right there. It does say, it says daily you got to do it. Watch this. You can crucify yourself because you've got more than one nature. You've got two natures. There's a physical nature to you and there's a spiritual nature. You guys remember what happened to Adam and Eve back there? God put them down there in that perfect garden without any heartache, without any sorrow, without any pain. And God, can God lie, guys? No, you're like, I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't really talk to him too much anymore. No, God can't lie. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Of course, God can't lie. If God could lie, he'd be a man, all right? So, God can't lie. We'll just take that for granted. And God put Adam and Eve down there, and he said, listen, there's no heartache, there's no sorrow, there's no diabetes, there's nothing that you got to worry about, okay? Matter of fact, even you and your wife are going to get along without any problems. And he puts them down there in that garden. And they're down there in that garden. Everything's going well. And the guy says, oh, by the way, one thing. Enjoy everything that's down here. It's all yours. You own it. You're the king on the hill. Don't touch that tree right there. You understand? And the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Okay. You know, whatever that means, God. I don't know what death is. I mean, I'm in a paradise right now, but sure, that sounds good. So God leaves him alone. He walks off, and next thing you know, everything's going well, and you know what happens. Long story short, Lucy comes down there as in the form of a snake, ends up tempting Eve. Eve eats of that tree. Adam eats of that tree. And then they dropped dead and got buried, right? 6 feet under. What? Huh? Did God lie? What happened? One nature died. That's right. The physical stayed alive. The spiritual died. So then, 4,000 years later, time expires, and next thing you know, the second Adam shows up, Jesus Christ. And when he shows up, you know what he preaches? Except a man be born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Born again? What are you talking about, Lord? I'm already in existence. How can a man go back in his mother's womb and be reborn? Jesus says, listen, the words that I speak unto you, they're spiritual words. They're not physical. And so, you know what happens the day that you get saved? Your spiritual nature comes back alive, the one that died when Adam ate of that fruit. Jesus Christ breathes into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. He breathes into your soul, the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. And you become a living soul all over again. He separates your soul from your flesh. And you know what dies that day? Your flesh dies. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Come back over here. Let's look at three spots real quick. First, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're talking about the cross, and I said the cross is to deny yourself. But unless you're a schizophrenic, unless you got some bipolar disorder and you're going to commit suicide, you can't truly deny yourself unless you have two natures right here. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Maybe some of you got that memorized. What does that say? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Read it if you need to. Otherwise, shout it out. You got it, Joey?
Yeah, I guess so. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new.
There you go. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right, we got two players here. We got one player that's new. We got one player that's old. There's two natures. All right, go from 2 Corinthians 5, turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, look at verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 and 10, Colossians 3, says this. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. They're the old things that have passed away. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. There's your old nature and your new nature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 9 says, put off the old man. Verse 2 says, put on the new man. It's like putting on clothes all over again. Put off the old man, put on the new man. All right, last spot, turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Here's where we see it. Romans chapter 6, all in all, is the great chapter on death for the Christian. How once you got saved, that old man was buried. Just like Jesus Christ got buried with his physical body. But then something new came up with it. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 5 and 6. Well, pick it up in verse 4. It says this, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Here it comes. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. When you got saved, God separated your soul from your flesh, and he breathed new life into your spirit. In God's mind, this is when your flesh died. He no longer sees you according to all the vain features you pride yourself in, but as his perfect son. And notice what God likens this experience to. He likens it to gardening. Your old body is like a seed that you put down and will exchange for a glorified body at the rapture. You guys see that in verse 5? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. How many of you guys in here have been baptized? Yeah, good. All right, so Pastor Bob or whoever baptized, when they put you down, they usually have something that they say. They say, buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his glorious resurrection. And that's what it's a picture of. Anybody here ever had a garden before? Yeah. All right. What kind of garden did you have, friend?
Vegetable.
Vegetable garden. What kind of seeds did you put down in that garden?
Tomato seeds.
Those tomato seeds. Were you able just to leave them on top of the soil and then get those tomatoes a couple of nights later? What happened?
You have to bury it.
You have to bury it? Why?
That's so mean.
I mean, anybody here claustrophobic?
Yeah.
You want to be buried? Yeah, I don't think so either. Guess what? Your flesh doesn't want to be buried either. It didn't like that idea at all. That's why it fights against the spirit. That's why the Bible says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Nobody wants to be buried. But let me tell you this. If you don't bury your flesh, your spirit will get buried. Did you know you can't live two lives at once? I know you can try to. You can try to live a double life, but after a while it'll catch up with you. And everyone will know you as one life, just the life of a hypocrite or the life of a liar. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. And the day that you get saved, each day, each decision you make, each moment of the day, you're choosing to live the life of the flesh or the life of the spirit, guys. Either you're old man or you're new man. And you can't have both of them. That's why in order to carry the cross, Jesus Christ said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You got to deny yourself. You say, well, Zach, if I deny myself, then what do I have? Well, back there in Colossians, the Bible said you put off the old man and put on the new man. All right? Turn to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Let's see who the new man is. And it said you got to put him on. If you deny yourself, then what's left? Who are you putting on? Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Caleb, you got that? Mm-hmm. Read that in your big voice.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
All right, read that again, Caleb, louder.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
One more time, just because I'm slow.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're putting on. That's the new man. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray to God. That's why we get close to him. That's what we're trying to put on. You know, I don't have to try very hard to put on Zach Sanders every morning when I get up. That's natural for me. You know, my natural tendencies, my natural jerkish moods and stuff like that, I can pick that up. I can resurrect that easily. But what Jesus Christ says you got to do is put him on each and every morning. That's what we're going to look at. We're going to figure out who he is, what it takes to put him on. And guys, that's what we're doing. You know, the Bible said back there in Romans chapter 6, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Over there in 1 Corinthians 15:36, it says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That's the whole gardening analogy that I was talking about. Just like you guys can't get a glorified body at the rapture until this body goes down into the ground, you can't have a new life in Jesus Christ until you crucify that flesh each and every day. That's what it's going to take. The decisions that I would make, the choices that I would make that are contrary to God and contrary to God's words, that's the stuff I've got to crucify and put down to the ground in order to live a life for Jesus Christ. You know, we oftentimes talk about, you know, putting your flesh down into the ground, but what about putting your old life, your old aspirations, your old desires down into that ground? Have you denied yourself by laying your old dreams and aspirations aside, except the ones that God is excited about? Are you planting your desires now so God can raise up a great harvest for you in the millennium? The life to come. That's what that thing's all about. One of my favorite songs is called "O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go," and there's a great verse in there that kind of talks about this. It says, "O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be." That's what you're doing when you choose to follow Jesus Christ. You're putting your life aside and trusting that He'll give you a better one later on. Back in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says this, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." A Christian is supposed to know that his old nature was found guilty and sentenced to death at salvation. So the question comes up, when are you going to carry out the execution? Like I said, no man can serve two masters. Either you serve God or you serve yourself. And here's something else, guys. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you were bought with a price. And if you're bought, you have a new master now, and he's waiting for your service. Logan pointed out earlier how the Apostle Paul said, "I die daily. The cross is where you daily climb into a tomb and leave Jesus the keys to your will." Over in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You can't choose the cross without denying yourself. Deciding to follow Jesus is denying yourself. All right, the last thing here is that the cross is not only a decision, it's not only a denial, but the cross is a daily burden that you've got to bear. That's why we sung that song, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross? A follower of the Lamb? Or shall I blush to own his cause, or to own his cause and blush to speak his name?" The cross is a daily choice you must make. The cross is a daily burden that you've got to bear. Listen, I wish, I've never been in Boy Scouts, but nothing against it. I wish the cross was like a merit badge that you can get in Boy Scouts, you know. I wish the cross was something that you can, like, complete one spiritual act in your life of virtue, and you get that badge, you pin it on your lapel, and then you're just done with it. I wish the cross was something that you could, you know, you could carry it one day and then save your progress like you do on a video game so you never have to go through that headache again. It'll be a lot easier if it was like that. I wish the cross was like back in high school, you know, where you can cram really hard for a test and after you pass it, you just forget about it. But it's not like that. The cross is a daily burden. What you did with your cross yesterday does not count for what you do with it today. And even though these are my wishes and my desires, what I want the cross to be like, that darn Bible has gotten in the way again, and it's jacking up the comfortable religion that I wish I had. The Bible says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, D-A-I-L-Y, daily, and follow me." It's a daily decision. It's an hourly decision. It's a choice that you've got to make each moment you're awake. So Joey was telling me before class he's sore just because of his own intestinal fortitude, just how he lives his life. He works out, I guess, pretty hard just every day. Is this right? Can the sisters attest to this? They're like, "We don't know what he's talking about." No. Yeah. So no, it's good. It's good. So I remember that back when, you know, I would start, you know, I remember the first day of, you know, track practice or the first time we start lifting weights with football. It's just like, you get ready for that thing, and I don't know about you guys, but I was always pretty fresh on my first day, you know, whether that worked out or not. My body, you know, wasn't sore, it wasn't hurting, so I could go out there and pretty much give it my all. You know, I found it's pretty easy to run 5 miles, you know, on the first day. It's not so hard to exert yourself and really put yourself out there. You know, your adrenaline takes over, it's the first day out, you don't want to get shown up, you want your friends to know that you still got it, stuff like that. Your body's fresh, you know, you're ready to max out. But you go to bed that night, and the strangest thing that happens when you wake up the next day. It's like your body ages 30 years or something like that. It's like someone cursed you. And it's hard just to walk normal without limping. Right? And that's just a normal trend of things. It's easy for us to go all out and go super hard, you know, one day, but it's super hard to come back and keep that thing going. Did you guys know it's easy to carry across to church on Thursday night and Sunday mornings? It's pretty easy. I mean, it's only like 2 hours. You got to carry it. You just got to like kind of shine that thing up, maybe put some lacquer on it, make it look good. All your friends see that you're bearing your cross. You all talk about how you're bearing the cross, and then you walk away. And I guess on the way out the door, there's like a big dumpster or something. We leave them there or something. That's where most of the crosses end up. There's like a dumpster outside the churches. No, what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday? The cross is a daily decision. It's a daily burden to bear. It's easy to go all out just one day and just one time. A couple of weeks ago, this is about 11 months ago now, I got together with some guys that I was on discipleship with, and I said, we're going to do this thing called a character development opportunity. And Aaron Cross was a part of that, too. This is funny, because how many of you guys know what a character development opportunity is, or what do you think it is? Character development opportunity. Just like, why is this funny, and why are you asking us this? I mean, it could be anything. All right, so, actually, there's a text that I sent Aaron and my discipleship team. I'm going to read it to you all. You tell me what you think about this. I say, hey, boys, just FYI, I'm going to be conducting a character development opportunity with the discipleship boys tomorrow morning at 8:30. It's going to be a 10-mic walk along, which to Mike, you know, is a minute. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, 10-mile walk along Little Blue Trace on Independence. Just letting you know in case you wanted to join. Happy Friday. Now, based off of that text, what would you guys think? Let's put on the Jeopardy music. Alright, who wants to answer that?
No.
What'd you say?
Absolutely not.
No, you can give me an answer. I'm not asking you to do this, okay? Logan's like, I'm done with this. No, absolutely not. Right answer, though. So why are you saying no? Why would you say no to such a character development opportunity?
Because it's hard and I don't want to do it.
Right. Lord. Well, good. Lauren got the whole point. That was what the hand explanation for the way I titled it, character development opportunity, was go give yourself a hard time and see how you react. Exactly. Aaron Crust shows up along with Jared and Christian and Alex. We're all together, you know, us four, and we're like, Aaron says he's coming. We're like, oh, this is going to be good. You know, we got at least five guys. You know, Cody wasn't able to be there. I forgot what you had to do. What did you have to do that day? Oh, yeah. What did you say, hunting something? Coon hunting or something like that.
It was like a military training thing we were doing.
Oh, no, I couldn't disclose that. And I had to keep that disclosed. I couldn't undisclose that. Anyway, so Jared Stevenson, Christian Lambeth, Alex and I show up, and we're waiting on Aaron to come. So we're all like in our, you know, hardcore exercise gear and stuff like that. We're listening to these military cadences, getting fired up, because I'm going to, like, carry my backpack and everything. I'm trying to get into the right mindset. And so then here comes Brother Crust. He comes in there. He steps out of the car. He's got, like, something that looks like house shoes on. Just, like, maybe jeans or something like that, sweats. You know, covered up, nice, all bundled up. Got his little glasses on. And a nice cup of coffee and his Bible in hand. Aaron's like, So what character study are we doing? No, we're not doing a character study. We're going to study your character, Aaron. Character development opportunity. So we're all ready to go do this hardcore hike. And here's Aaron. So we had to send him home. AWOL. The boy missed it. He missed the text. Read your text very carefully. All right? So we went out as a group of four, since Aaron was not with us. We went to Little Blue Trace. We end up going 10 miles in 2 hours. We walked that pace. We were walking 12-minute miles, all right? And I know you're like, let me tell you what was going on. So I looked up an article on this thing called prevention.com just to see, you know, keeping the pace like that, what that's like. I think Maddie is not really impressed. I'm going to impress you pretty soon. You're going to be impressed, Maddie. No, you're going to get it. All right, listen. This is what the experts say. They said if it takes you 20 minutes to go a mile, then you're traveling at 3 miles an hour. If it takes 15 minutes, then it's 4 miles an hour. If it takes 13 minutes, then you're running, then you're walking at 4.5 miles an hour. But then they said this, 12 minutes is a highly athletic 5 miles an hour. This is how fast we're walking. Highly athletic. I'm just saying, all right? We're kicking butt out there, okay? And it was a character development. If you wonder what happened to Jared and Christian, you see they didn't survive. They're not here, all right? So, character development opportunity, all right?
Will I find them on the trail?
They might be out on the trail. That's right. So we went out as a group of four. We went to Little Blue Trace. We went 10 miles in 2 hours at the pace of 5 miles an hour. And then we went home and never did that again, okay? We didn't get up the next day and try that again. That's just my whole point. It's easy to exert yourself and go crazy like that one time. Remember that, guys. It's easy to show up big on Sunday. It's easy to show up big on Thursday night. It's easy to be a Christian in one moment of your life. What Jesus Christ called us to do, if any man will come after me and deny himself, daily, take up his cross and follow me. You know, an upset in sports happens when the underdog catches their opponent off guard by playing better than usual. Anyone can have a good game, but very few show daily domination. When it comes to the cross, it's a daily burden that you'll have to bear. Commitment is the key. Consistency is the key. Each morning you wake up, you got to decide whether or not to carry that cross. You say, well, Zach, what is the cross? It's hope for the hopeless and help for the helpless. Your friends will see you carrying it, and they'll know that there must be a God. The cross is a reminder that this life isn't the highlight of God's plan. But overall, it's a decision to make to daily follow Jesus or to live for yourself. So, from here on out, guys, I'm going to be turning our attention towards things that are going to fit us to be able to accomplish these things, get us fit to carry our cross. And as we head towards camp with the theme of CrossFit, hope you guys pay attention and start applying some of these things to your life so that once we get to camp, you know what? We'll just be par for the course. We'll be ready to get all that God's got for us there. All right, well, let's close out with a word of prayer and we'll get out of here. Heavenly Father, thanks for the attentiveness of the kids tonight. Lord, I pray that something that was said you'd be able to take and use to, for your honor and glory, Lord, and get done in their lives what you want to get done. Just look after them as they head out here and help them remember, God, each day they've got that choice to bear their cross or not to bear it, Lord. Nobody's going to make them. It's got to be because of their love for you, their understanding of their duty. We look forward to what you got for us and coming back again on Sunday. Your son, Jesus Christ, and I pray. Amen.